I didn't go out to think I'd be Hercules, I'll tell you that much. I didn't think I had a focus, and I went out there and treated it like a business. If you're a Christian and a conservative in Hollywood, I joke that you might as well be a double leper. I just finished my 70th movie. You know, I have a passion for this business. I still love doing it.
Well, everyone, welcome back to The Rhonda Swann Show. I'm really excited about today's guest because, as you know, I've been bringing on entrepreneurs and change makers and people that have done amazing things, not only in their life, but in their business and how they're leaving a bigger impact. Well, today I'm flipping the switch a bit because I'm now bringing on someone that has left a massive impact, not just in the physical work, in the circular area, right, in your perimeter of what you do, but globally. Literally on the big screen, like using his gifts to shift the consciousness of the planet, to help others like truly tap into their self through Hollywood films. And so I'm not gonna waste any more time because this is like one of my heroes growing up. My guest today is Kevin Sorbo. He's an American actor. In fact, he had the starring role in two television series as Hercules in Hercules. Yay, one of my favorites, The Legendary Journeys, and as Captain Dylan Hunt in Andromeda. Sorbo is also known for acting in the Christian drama films, God's Not Dead and Let There Be Light. Kevin Sorbo, I could keep talking about you because your list is long of the things that you've done and the impact that you've left on the world. But I want to welcome you and thank you for joining me on my show today. How are you?
My pleasure. It's good to be here. And it looks like you're in a beautiful area there. So one of these days, like I told you earlier before we got on the air here, that I'm going to get down there. My wife and I talk about it. I know people have been there, so I've heard all about where you live right now.
Yeah, Bali's a cool place, you know, and it's got a really super cool vibe. It's Hindu religion is Bali, and Indonesia itself is Muslim, but Bali itself is Hindu, so it's like really cruisy vibe, really mellow, and it was a really nice place for us all to spend these dormant years that were forced upon us. However, here we are getting to chat about, you know, your history and what you've really done. And when I say that, this show is about, you know, kind of unwrapping and unpacking people's life and what they've done and why they've done it. And, you know, I'm like a super huge fan of Hercules. You know, I was born in 73. So, you know, in the 90s, I was just finishing high school. It was like, yeah, like it was such a, you know, just an amazing show. But I wanted to ask you, what was the because the first, there was an original movie, right? The Hercules in New York, that was with Arnold. Was that an inspiration for your series?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, that was back, my gosh, that was like in 1972 or 3 or something like that. Yeah. So I shot Hercules from 1993 to 2000 down in New Zealand. Right. And the whole idea behind that series was to not have a guy like Lou Ferrigno, who's a dear friend, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, that are these big bodybuilding guys.
Yeah,
they wanted a guy that's more of a decathlon guy or maybe an NFL quarterback size guy. And we started with 5 2-hour movies. And for me, the blessing of that was to work with Anthony Quinn for a whole year. Played Zeus. And for those people out there who don't know Anthony Quinn, they better look him up. He's from the golden age of Hollywood from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And he was nominated for 6 Academy Awards. He won twice. Just an amazing guy. And we got to know him very well until he passed away 8 years after the series finished. But he had a lot of great stories for me. I learned a lot from him. But we had 2 spinoff shows. In our 3rd year, we spun up Xena Warrior Princess. In our 5th year, we spun up Young Hercules. And it was a 20-year-old actor who was pretty unknown at the time, but it was by the name of Ryan Gosling, who played me as a teenager. And like I said, by our 3rd year, actually, we became the most watched TV show in the world in 176 countries. And we're still in 60 countries. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty amazing.
I know. And I told my daughter that I was interviewing you. She's like, what? No way. No way. You know, because like especially with Ryan Gosling, right? Because all the, you know, she's 15 and, you know, like such a, you know, impactful actor in the space. But, you know, like with your career, I mean, you've done so many different things, you know, I mean, like I could go on with you not only being an actor, producer, filmmaker, but can I ask you, if you were to do it over again, would there be anything that you changed?
I don't know. It just seemed like I was 11 years old when I decided I wanted to be an actor, and it seemed like that there was a path that I took that didn't seem hurried or rushed. It didn't seem impatient. I mean, because even when I finished college, I spent 3.5 years living in Europe. I spent another half year living down in Australia before I really moved into LA. So I was taking my time to get there. I had that all important Screen Actors Guild card early because I did a lot of commercials in Minneapolis, where I'm from originally, because we have Best Buy, Target, 3M, Honeywell, Pillsbury, General Mills. We have all these main big companies that did all the commercials right there in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. So I don't know. I didn't go out to think I'd be Hercules, I'll tell you that much. I didn't think. I am a big Star Trek fan. So for me to do Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda, it was the first show he wrote after Star Trek. Mm. So my Captain Dylan Hunt was the first captain after Captain Kirk. So that was cool for me because as a kid growing up, I watched all the reruns. Right. In college, it was 10:30 at night was reruns of Twilight Zone, 11 o'clock was Star Trek. So that was sort of the routine after we studied, if we studied at all. But it was pretty much the way, I don't know. I just seem to take my time with it. I don't think there's anything I would do differently. I don't know. I think the Midwest upbringing I had was huge for me. It didn't... I kind of kept that. I was never really much of that Hollywood guy. I didn't play that game very well because I didn't care. But I had a focus, and I went out there and treated it like a business because it is called show business.
No, I love that. I mean, I'm from Michigan, you know, so we were just talking about Midwest values, right? It's true because you don't – and there is something different about the way that we were brought up and where, because it's just like we don't take on that, like, starstruckness. You know, I think some have. Which is why I wanted to ask that, because like you started at 11, right? And I've interviewed a lot of different, actors and stars and musicians. And, you know, they usually say in that time, in those young years, you know, because you hear horror stories about when young kids start in Hollywood business and then they stay in for all their life. You know, was there a time you think in, as a young person that, you know, like, you were, you know, experiencing something that, you know, probably wouldn't have been the best thing for a young person? And I only ask this because my daughter's 15, right? She's been asked me in a lot of movies, and we've held it back for that reason.
Well, I didn't spend those times in L.A. You know, I was in Minnesota, living in a small town. Yeah. So I didn't have that influence to get stuck into that. Because you're right, the vast majority of those childhood stars become totally screwed up and messed up. So I lived a small town life. I mean, I was a football and basketball, baseball guy. So I loved the acting part. I knew it was always there. But, I was a jock in my little town, and that was my life. My best friends to this day are guys I've known since grade school. So it's, I think growing up in that town is pretty screwy. And I think it's even worse today than it was years ago. It just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. If you weren't there, because it's true. Like, there's so many kids have gone through and they don't even know who they are anymore. But I love what you said is that you ran it like a business, right? I mean, that's really, I think those that run anything like it's their business, then you're able to choose and pick and choose the differences of what and how you want it to affect you. I was doing some reading on you and even deeper because it's really cool. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to interview Kevin Sorbo. I got to dig even deeper. And I was looking at your book that you had, released, the autobiography, I think it was in 2011. And you talked about your aneurysm and things that had happened to you in that time of your life and how it affected your well-being, your career. But one thing that you said, and I'd love if you would share it, is how that journey, how your wife, Sam, helped you recover during that time.
Yeah, well, it was the end of season 5 on Hercules, and I was having all kinds of problems with my arm, my left arm. I couldn't figure what was going on. But I mean, I was doing most of my own stunts, you know, because my ego said that I could, and I enjoyed doing it. So I just always getting sprains and cuts and bumps and bruises, didn't pay much attention to it. Well, it ended up being an aneurysm. It was way up here in my shoulder near my neck. And when it opened up, it sent a lot of clots to my arm, but it unfortunately sent a series of clots to my brain. I suffered strokes. And it took me a long time to really get so-called 100% again. It took about 3 years to really feel semi-normal. I still know that I have restrictions that most people wouldn't be able to tell, but I know what they are. So, my wife kept bugging me to write the book, and I didn't want to write the book because being the male ego, you don't want to show how weak you've become.
Right.
Because here I was playing the strongest man in the world. But the book is called True Strength. It came out in 2012, actually. And it was amazing. She was right how it came out, because it affects a lot of people in positive ways. And it actually opened up a door for me that I thought I'd never be doing. And that was, I started doing speaking events. And I've been doing a lot since. So I've had 10, 11 years now straight of doing anywhere from 12 to 15 speaking events a year across the country. And, you know, she was definitely a tough, you know, Pittsburgh, New York gal with me. Every time I got down, she says, "Kevin, it happened. What are you going to do about it?" I think a mixture of that and a mixture of my parents and a mixture of my own strong will that was instilled by my parents helped me fight through this. And also my faith helped through as well. And it's easy to blame God and family and friends in the world if things don't go your way. Everybody's got a story. We're all hit roadblocks in our life. How do you react to those roadblocks? I say, cue Michael Jackson and the Man in the Mirror song. You got to look in the mirror and you got to go, okay, what are you going to do about this? You're going to whine and cry about it and be miserable the rest of your life? Or are you going to push forward and try to be a better person and get through this? And it took a lot of work to get through it, but I was determined to do it.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I know because you do speaking and you do, would you say that the work that you're doing is more inspirational? Like, what are some things that you really like to focus on for your talks? Because I know I have a massive audience of people that are always, you know, looking for like that. It's like, who's the celebrity or that impactful person that really has that heart that can come onto a stage? And I have a feeling you've got some of that coming from your values.
Yeah, no question. But I think, you know, in 2010, I did my first really, I would call, faith-based movie.
Yeah.
And it was called What If. It's the same company that I did God's Not Dead with. And in my book, What If's a better movie. Mm. It's just independent movies. It's kind of a hit and miss thing. How do you get it out there to people when you don't have $100 million budget to do it like they do for Avengers movies, you know?
Yep.
So you got to rely on word of mouth. And that's what God's Not Dead, just hit the right time in the right place and got big, strong word of mouth. But my book, What If's even a better movie. Dallas Jenkins directed it. He is the son of Jerry Jenkins, who wrote the Left Behind books. And that movie really kind of said, these are the kind of movies I want to do. I want to do movies that have a positive message. Because you see the stuff coming out of Hollywood right now.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot of anger and hate and divisiveness and all these agendas they're pushing. Yeah. I got into acting because I loved the movies that I watched growing up as a kid, the reruns with my mom. The old-fashioned movies, like with Cary Grant and Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn and Jimmy Stewart, those are the movies I want to do because they're like real people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and they got real stories about hope and love and faith and redemption and laughter, things that Hollywood just doesn't want to do anymore. And there's millions, billions of people that want movies that I do. So I'm going to keep making these kind of movies.
Yeah, making more impact movie. I love that because that's where we need to go. You know, I'm in. You know, you talk a lot about your faith, and I think that sometimes becomes taboo, often, right? Especially in Hollywood or, you know, wherever. It's like becomes taboo in a way. However, you know, maybe would you be open to talking a bit about, you know, how your faith comes into now the work that you're doing, you know, and does it play a role in how you choose roles that you might be taking or movies that you're now making?
Yeah, there's no question. It's interesting. You know, if you're a Christian and a conservative in Hollywood, I joke that you might as well be a double leper. And unfortunately, I think being a Christian is probably even a bigger sin in Hollywood for whatever reasons. I don't quite get it.
Yeah.
Why that gets under attack so much. Mm. But I'm far from being a perfect person. I know that. But I want to do movies that touch people's souls the way movies always did to me. So I'm going to keep fighting this fight and keep doing the movies I'm doing. I've got 4 new ones coming up this year. 2 of them I directed. And I just finished my 70th movie. So they're not all good. There's about a dozen stinkers in there. But, you know, you don't know that going in, of course. But, you know, I'm staying busy. I'm actually leaving for Israel on Sunday because I'm going to be shooting a documentary there. And then I go to Minnesota to shoot a race car movie there. And then I'm doing a sci-fi movie down in Oklahoma. So I got a busy year ahead of me as well.
Nice. All right, cool. Can you talk even more about any of those? Are they like public yet?
Yeah, no.
Tell
the
us
ones
more.
That I finished, there's one called Miracle in East Texas. It's a wonderful movie. It's a true story set in 1930. A very famous writer, Dan Gordon, wrote it. Dan Gordon's an Academy nominated writer. He wrote The Hurricane for Denzel Washington. He wrote Wide Earp, Kevin Costner's movie. It's about 2 con men played by myself and John Ratzenberger that go through Oklahoma and Texas wooing widows out of their money off of fake oil wells. Well, they strike oil, the largest oil find in the history in the world, in 1930 in Kilgore, Texas. True story. And it's won multiple awards at film festivals. We're hoping to get it out by September, October this year. Nice. Lou Gossett Jr. is in it. Tyler Mayne's in it. People that are in the wrestling world know Tyler Mayne, but most people from the X-Men know him as Sabretooth. He's a big 6'9" guy. The other movie that I just finished directing is called Left Behind, based off the Left Behind books, Rise of the Antichrist. Wonderful movie. That's coming out around November as well. And then I've got a documentary coming out called Eating with the Enemy. It deals with the Last Supper. I love that title, Eating with the Enemy. Mm. And then I've got the Reagan movie with Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid plays President Reagan. I play his pastor in it. So I'm staying busy.
Oh my gosh. I've got a lot going on. It's like the things that you're doing. And I, you know what? But I love it. Isn't it the coolest part when you literally take like what you're so passionate about and you're able to bring it into your work? I think that's really the beauty and why I was so excited to interview you, because I'm like, I don't want to just interview any other Hollywood person, that not against anyone, however, but like someone that actually has passion for the work that they're doing and to keep bringing it out into the world to help make a shift. And people always think that I have too much energy. Or like, how do you have the amount of energy? Would you say that your energy and your excitement comes because it's led by passion? Where do you like get that motivation, that drive from to do so much like that? Because you don't necessarily have to do that much anymore.
It started young for me. I told you, 11 years old. I mean, I saw a play it was the Guthrie Theater. Guthrie Theater is a very famous theater in Minneapolis. A lot of Broadway plays come there. A lot of plays start there before they go Broadway. And it was The Merchant of Venice. It was Shakespeare. I don't know what the hell they're saying because I was 11 years old and it was Shakespeare, but I was mesmerized. And right there, I made the decision I want to be an actor. But, you know, the drive has always been there. I mean, Hollywood pretty much gave me the boot. Yeah. I mean, they did. You know, so my wife and I formed our own studios at Sorbo Studios. Please go to sorbostudios.com, sign up. There's a lot of information on there.
Awesome.
And we kind of merged both of our websites together. And, you know, I have a passion for this business. I still love doing it. Yeah. And I love being on the set. I love the creative process. I like working with people that feel that same way. And I'm not going to stop. You know, I hope I can keep on going like Clint Eastwood does into my 90s and just keep plugging away.
I love it. Well, we sure hope you do too. And I'll make sure too that everyone gets to see, you know, the Sorbo Studios, because, you know, this is the type of people that I want to share. I want more people to come that with real true values, that care about the work that they're putting out in the world. And before we go, because I know you're a super busy guy, is there any, you know, advice that you would give, let's say someone now that's coming into, I wouldn't just say Hollywood or movie making, I'm like what their passion is, like what best advice could you give to someone that is really ready to step into their greatness?
Well, don't be afraid. I mean, governments of every level, and we've seen it in this, you know, its highest form right now, last couple of years with the COVID, they use fear as a weapon to control our lives.
Yep.
And a lot of people fall into that and let their lives be controlled. Don't let people set you limitations. I used to caddy at this private country club when I was in college, and I would ask these guys, they were all successful, rich guys, 30 years old to 80 years old. I said, how did you get to where you are? And every one of them said without blinking, oh, I failed, Kevin. And then I failed again. And then I failed some more. But they didn't let failure is a positive word. You got to find that. Even no is a positive word, because you can always take something good out of that failure and get rid of the stuff that you know didn't work and take those pieces and keep moving forward. And a lot of people just give up way too easily. You just give up. I tell people all the time, look, I'm a 13-year overnight success. I did not give up. I kept plugging and pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's what you got to do. Too many people let fear control them. So don't let that happen to you.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I say the same. You know, I quit corporate in 2004, because I, you know, was a big corporate executive for a huge company, and I was feeling all that pressure of needing to be someone or wearing all these different masks and like being a ball breaker kind of like female entrepreneur or you know, business owner. And then I quit because I wanted to be able to be the primary influence in my daughter's life, and I wanted to raise her. And you know, if I were to measure myself as a parent on all the failures that I had, I would, you know, think I was a horrible mother. I didn't do my work. However, now, like with my daughter and the lessons that I, you know, give her, it's like, no, these failures is what's made you, the resilience that keeps you going, you know? And I think it's a beautiful thing. Do you have kids yourself, you and your wife?
We have three. We have, my boys are 20 and 18, and my daughter is 16. We're homeschoolers. My wife's a homeschool advocate.
Yeah, same.
A lot of traveling with it. I think she's on her fourth book right now in the homeschooling alone. And, stays very busy. You know, we both are just kind of like nonstop in the household here. Yeah. She's actually coming to Israel with me, because we've been there before with a group of people. And I shot another documentary there, which I recommend that people watch right now. Check out Against the Tide, againstthetide.movie. It's a documentary that deals about proving God in the world of science. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. I'd love for our daughters one day to possibly meet. My daughter's the same, homeschooled. She's lived in, you know, over 52 different countries. She's now writing her third book and her third novel. So it sounds like good parenting, right? Good values, those good Midwest values help create good parenting, just because we stay true to who we are and our faith and what we're here to do on the world. So,
and by the way, I mentioned What If to you as I think it's a better movie than God's Not Dead. We shot that in Manistee, Traverse City, and Grand Rapids.
There you go.
You need to watch What If there in Michigan.
That's a deal, because I grew up in Detroit and Grand Rapids, like that's where, you know, I played softball as a young person and I know all those areas. So Kevin, really thank you for taking the time. I truly appreciate it. And, you know, letting us inside of your world, you know, mass media has these, Hollywood starlights, right? What is celebrities like? And they just want to get in. And it's like, the ones that have that true heart, the ones that stick around and make the bigger impact. And I think the more we stay in this space, the grander the world would be, right? That old way of doing things just doesn't work. And so thanks for doing your work, for being who you are. And I can't wait to see these movies and maybe bump into you around the road, maybe come and visit me in Bali.
There you go. Be great.
Thanks, my friend. Have a great one. Be unstoppable. Cheers. All right, everyone. Amazing, right? We just got to hear from Kevin Sorbo. I was a little bit starstruck, you know, because in high school, he's, you know, the lead of Hercules, the series. Like, this was the stuff that I juiced on. I was an athlete growing up, and I love this resilience and that power, right, of staying true to who you are. But the coolest thing, he really is that. Like, that's what he's doing. He's bringing his values of being brought up in the Midwest and bringing that into his business. And I loved how he said that he uses his Hollywood career as his business, not as something that he was aspiring to be. And I think it's a really beautiful lesson for all of us that are either raising children or being an example in this world. Don't allow your environment to become you. You bring those values and who you are into that environment. And that's how you stay in that protected space. And it's a way that we can navigate in this world, you know, and not let all the garbage that's going on affect us energetically. And so he gave you all the list of the movies we need to watch. I'm gonna put them down in the comments below because I can't remember all of them. However, make sure that you do check out Sorbo Studios. It sounds like they're doing amazing things in the world as well. And all of us can be a part of something bigger, and to learn from one of the masters in Hollywood that has stayed true to his values, true to himself, and to leave an impact greater on this world. So everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you let Kevin know and go say hi to him on his socials and down below in our comments. And don't forget, we are always taking on amazing guests onto our show. And every month we're going to be doing a new show that has a celebrity panel, especially for entrepreneurs. We've got some really big guests coming up. And if you'd like to be on my show, to be sitting here either independently with me or on one of our celebrity panels, you can always register. We've got a link in my bio. If you're on Instagram or anywhere else on our social platforms, you can fill out the application and we can take a look at what you're up to. So thanks for being here, everyone. Thanks for being true. Don't forget to be unstoppable and stay wild. See you on the next episode.